This summer, I'm preaching through Psalms 23, basically one sermon for each of the six verses. And the title of the sermon series is A Heart for the Good Shepherd. My prayer is that you will get to know the Lord as your Good Shepherd and how wide, how long, how deep is His love for you. And my prayer is that a knowledge of His love will result in greater love, trust, and obedience. And so I want to challenge each of you to memorize Psalm 23. And as we do that, we meditate upon these verses and all the truths that we learn through the sermons. And there will be a test in August and a prize given to all who memorize it. So before I pray, let's just read this psalm together. And if you've already memorized it, you can quote it. So let me get it on screen here. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the abundant blessings you have poured down upon us over the years. We have been blessed with more wealth, education, and freedom than the vast majority of mankind throughout history. But all that pales in comparison to the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. He is our good shepherd who gives us nourishment, rest, forgiveness, hope, companionship, guidance, honor, power, and eternal security. Certainly, Christ is more than enough for every one of us. And yet, forgive us for the times that we have been discontent, when we have been entitled, grumpy, and jealous for more. Forgive us for the times that we have been ungrateful to you as our giver of all good things. And forgive us when we have loved the gifts more than we have loved the giver. Teach us today that because you are the shepherd of our souls, that you will make sure that we have all that we need. May our hearts be tuned to your Holy Spirit as he teaches us through the preaching of your word. May we teach one another and learn from one another in our discussion groups at the end of the worship service. Thank you for our Bible studies that have happened this past week. We pray that those people here in Ithaca who are not involved in small groups will join one. And we thank you that online Bible studies have been a blessing in disguise because as a result, we have had people join us all the way from Egypt to Hawaii. And thank you that 10 college students came to our college Bible study on Friday. And we thank you in particular for the three graduated seniors who joined us. And we pray that this Bible study will help them transition well into college. We continue to pray for racial reconciliation within our country. May Christians stand up against injustice. May Christians be peacemakers. Thank you for those in our police force who work hard and risk their lives. May they receive honor and be a good example to others. We pray for safety as many businesses, restaurants, and churches are reopening. We pray that people will practice wise safety precautions so that there will not be a resurgence of positive cases of COVID-19. And we pray for our own church leaders in deciding when to reopen our church building. Help us to be neither timid nor foolish. Help us not to walk ahead of you or too far behind you, but help us to follow close by you as our good shepherd. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start my sermon with a poem entitled Present Tense, written by Jason Lehman. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. Then it was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, and I never got what I wanted. You know, many of us are like that poet. We have the disease of discontentment. We never seem to be satisfied with the situation that we are in. We always want a little bit more, or maybe we want a little bit less. To be a little bit older, or maybe to be a little bit younger. To have it a little bit hotter, or to have it a little bit colder. We seldom seem to be willing to say, "This is good enough. I am satisfied." And so we end our lives never getting what we want. There are several symptoms of discontentment that may indicate that you have the disease of this discontentment. The most obvious is the symptom of complaining. If you tend to grumble, gripe, and complain, you might have the disease of discontentment. If you're a cranky woman or a grumpy man, you might have the disease of discontentment. Another symptom of discontentment is the symptom of ingratitude. If you rarely express your thankfulness to God or to your parents or to other people in your life, you may have caught the disease of discontentment. Another symptom is a symptom of jealousy. If you resent instead of rejoice when somebody gets what you would have liked to have gotten, it may indicate that you have the disease of discontentment. One of the most dangerous symptoms is the symptom of disobedience. In his book entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, Philip Keller describes one of the sheep that he called Miss Gadabout. And he writes, "This one ewe produced more problems for me than almost all of the rest of the flock combined. No matter what field or pasture the sheep were in, she would search all along the fences or shoreline we led by the sea, looking for a loophole she could crawl through and start to feed on the other side. It was not that she lacked pasturage. My fields were my joy and delight. My sheep in the district had better grazing. With Miss Gadabout, it was an ingrained habit. She was simply never contented with things as they were. Often when she had forced her way through some such spot in a fence or found a way through the end of the wire at low tides on the beaches, she would end up feeding on bare, brown, burned-up pastures of a most inferior sort. But she never learned her lesson and continued to fence crawl time after time. Now, are you like Miss Gadabout? Do you tend to think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence? Have you wandered away from God because you are not satisfied with his provisions? If you were honest, would you have to admit that you feel even more barren since you have wandered away from God? Then you probably have the disease of discontentment. Discontentment is a terrible disease to have. Discontentment is when you allow some circumstance to steal the joy out of your life. You can never truly be happy when you're discontent. And you're not very fun to be around if you are discontent. So, if the disease of discontent is so bad, how can we be cured from it? Well, Psalm 23 offers the cure for the discontentment. According to this passage, there are three steps that we need to take in order to experience the cure. So, the first step is found in the first four words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Robert Ketchum tells a story about a Sunday school teacher who asked her class if anybody could quote Psalm 23, verse 1. A little girl raised her hand and said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." I think she gave a pretty good paraphrase. The first step toward the cure to contentment is to adore the Lord as your shepherd. The Apostle Paul said it in a different way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you, and it is a safeguard for you." In other words, the Apostle Paul was saying, do you want to be protected from the disease of discontentment? Do you want to make sure that you do not become a cranky old lady or a grumpy old man? Then you better make sure that your source of joy is coming from whom the Lord is. If your source of joy is based upon circumstances, then your emotional life will be a roller coaster. You'll be happy when things go right, but discontented when things go wrong. And if your source of joy is based upon how other people treat you'll be happy when they treat you well, but discontented when they disappoint you. You see, the only source of joy that is constantly positive and reliable is the Lord. And so, if you want to be healed from the disease of discontentment, you need to adore the Lord as your good shepherd. Like a helpless and grateful lamb, we should gaze at Jesus and admire him because he is strong enough to protect us, but gentle enough to care for us. As I explained in my sermon a couple of Sundays ago, Jesus has shown that he is strong enough to protect us from Satan by doing two different things. First, he grasps us out of the mouth of Satan, the devouring lion. And secondly, he holds us safely in his powerful arms. In other words, Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we would be saved from hell. And now he preserves our eternal life by making sure that we never lose our salvation. But also, as I mentioned in my sermon two Sundays ago, Jesus not only is strong enough to protect us, but he is also gentle enough to care for us. He does this by giving us guidance in our confusing lives and by giving us the best life possible while we're here on earth, and by knowing everything about us and yet still loving us. It's interesting that in Psalm 23 that the King David first describes whom the Lord is before he describes what the Lord does. That was because David was a man after God's own heart, and he loved the shepherd for who he was, more than for what he could do for him. In other words, David loved the giver more than he loved the gifts. My wife and I used to have a cat named Toby. When we first got that cat from the pound, he would stare at us with adoration and purr. He just felt so privileged to be in our presence. But as the years went by, Toby began to take us for granted. He no longer stared at us in admiration. He rarely purred, and he would sometimes hide from us when we wanted to pet him. However, he still expected us to feed him and to clean out his litter box. I think we sometimes treat God like Toby treated us. Maybe there was a time that we were in awe of him. We would pour out our hearts to him when we sang. We were committed to make any sacrifice to him. But now we have become bored with worship, and we look at God's expectations as inconveniences rather than as expectations. But our lack of commitment hasn't made us happier people. Instead, it has made us more discontent. So if we want to become more contented people, we need to start turning our eyes back upon Jesus. Well, the second step in a cure for discontentment is found in the second half of Psalm 23, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The word "want" literally should be translated as "lack." So this verse could literally be translated, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." Do you honestly believe that since the Lord is your shepherd, that you don't lack anything? Perhaps you're thinking, well, that has not worked for me. Even though the Lord is my shepherd, I am still very lonely. I lack a loving and good spouse. Or perhaps you think, I lack a job that I find fulfilling. Or I lack good health. Or I lack good looks. So isn't it unrealistic to say, if the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not lack? In his sermon on Psalm 23, John Piper said, "Do God's sheep ever lack anything? We don't have to go outside the psalm to know that they do. When the sheep is walking through the dark valley, it lacks light, and I presume it lacks the green pasture and the quiet waters. Sheer common sense tells us that no matter how well things are going, you always lack something. Blessings must wait their turn. I think, therefore, that what David means is that God's sheep, and that is not everybody, but only those who trust him, never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for them." In other words, if you are a committed Christian and you are lacking a sweetheart in your life, or if you are lacking financial security, or if you are lacking anything else, then evidently, the good shepherd thinks that you do not need those things, at least not right now. So you have two options. You can be discontented and shake your sheep hoof at the shepherd and say, "Why are you making my life so miserable?" Or you can choose to say, "I don't understand why you're depriving me of this blessing, but I will trust in your wisdom and love. I will trust that you know what is best for me." In other words, if we want to be cured from the disease of discontentment, then we not only need to adore the Lord as our good shepherd, but we also need to believe that the shepherd provides all our needs. And he does provide all our needs. The rest of Psalm 23 proves it. Will Pound's paraphrase of Psalm 23 makes this point very clear when he wrote the following: "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack any provision in needs of my life. Because he makes me lie down in green pastures, I shall not lack nourishment. Because he leads me beside quiet waters, I shall not lack rest. Because he restores my soul, I shall not lack forgiveness and restoration. And because he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, I shall not lack a right relationship with God. Because I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, and I shall not lack encouragement and hope. Because thou art with me, I shall not lack for a constant companion. Because thy rod and thy staff comfort me, I shall not lack guidance and protection. Because thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy, I shall not lack honor and respect. Because thou anointest my head with oil, I shall not lack power and authority. Because my cup overflows, I shall not lack joy and abundant life. And because goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, I shall not lack contentment. And because I dwell in the house of the Lord forever, I shall not lack assurance of eternal security." So, when you think about all that the Good Shepherd has done for you as a sheep, it really does make sense to say that you lack nothing that you really need. But since the Lord has done so much for us, does that mean that we can enjoy these blessings purely by osmosis? Is believing that we have these blessings enough to experience these blessings? Well, take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "The Lord's divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." In other words, if you are a Christian, the Lord has already given you everything that you need to live a godly life and to experience the best life possible. But Peter goes on to say that this should not be an excuse for spiritual complacency. Instead, Peter goes on to say in verses 5 through 9, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anybody does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." In other words, you will not be able to fully enjoy the provisions of the shepherd unless you make the most of what he has given to you. In other words, if you want to be cured from the disease of discontentment, you must not only adore the Good Shepherd, and you must not only believe that the Good Shepherd provides all your needs, but you also must claim the full benefits of the Shepherd's provisions by fulfilling your responsibility as a sheep. You see, It doesn't do you any good for the shepherd to take you to the green pastures unless you lie down in those green pastures. It doesn't do you any good for the shepherd to lead you by still waters unless you drink from those still waters. And it doesn't do you any good for the shepherd to seek to restore your soul unless you let him restore your soul. It doesn't do any good for the shepherd to lead you in paths of righteousness unless you follow him down those paths. It doesn't do you any good for the shepherd to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death unless you fear no evil. It doesn't do you any good for the shepherd to use his rod and his staff unless you let him comfort you with that rod and staff. And it doesn't do you any good for the shepherd to prepare a table before you in the midst of your enemies unless you feast on his treats. It doesn't do you any good for the shepherd to anoint your head with oil unless you let your cup run over with joy. It doesn't do you any good for goodness and mercy to follow you unless you lead them. It doesn't do you any good down here for the shepherd to provide a house for you to dwell in forever unless you rest in the assurance that your eternity is secure. In his book entitled Classic Christianity, Bob George tells a story about a man named Mr. Yates who owned a large acreage of land in West Texas. And during the Depression years, he lived in extreme poverty, and his family barely had enough money for food and clothing. It got to the point in which he almost lost his property because he wasn't able to pay the taxes for his land. But one day, an oil company asked Mr. Yates permission to explore his land for oil. Mr. Yates felt like he had nothing to lose, so he let them. So the oil company began to drill, and they discovered the largest oil deposit in all of North America, which at one time produced 80,000 barrels of oil a day. So in one day, Mr. Yates became a billionaire. But if you think about it, Mr. Yates had been a billionaire ever since he first bought his land. It's just he didn't know it. You know, we Christians are a lot like Mr. Yates. We are sitting on an oil field of spiritual blessings. We are spiritual billionaires. But we often act like spiritual bums. Let's start drilling our riches by claiming the full benefits of the shepherd's blessing. And starting next week, I will tell you how. Perhaps you're thinking, well, you don't know my circumstances. My situation is horrible. There's no way that these three steps can bring a cure to my discontentment. If that is how you're feeling, I'd like to close with a story I got by email to show you that you do not have to be a victim of your circumstances. A man had a coworker named Michael who always seemed to be in a good mood. Whenever he asked Michael, "How are you doing?" Michael would reply, "If I were any better, I would be twins." So one day the man asked Michael how he could always be so positive all the time. And Michael replied, "Each morning I wake up and say to myself, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood, or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Every time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim, or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept their complaining, or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side of life." Soon after the conversation, the man changed jobs and lost touch with Michael. But many years later, the man learned that Michael had been involved in a serious accident in which he fell 60 feet from a communications tower. And Michael needed 8 hours of surgery and many weeks of intensive care. And finally, he left the hospital with rods placed in his back. A few months later, the man saw Michael and asked him how he was. And Michael replied, "If I were any better, I'd be twins." The man then asked Michael what he thought about when the accident took place. And Michael replied, "The first thing that went through my mind was the well-being of my soon-to-be born daughter. Then as I lay on the ground, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live, or I could choose to die. So I chose to live." Michael continued, The paramedics were great. They kept telling me that I was going to be fine, but when they wheeled me into the ER and I saw the expression on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I got really scared. In their eyes, I read, "He is a dead man." I knew I had to take action. A big, burly nurse asked if I was allergic to anything. "Yes," I replied. Doctors and nurses stopped working as they waited for my reply. I took a big breath and yelled out, "Gravity!" And over their laughter, I told him, "I choose to live. Operate on me as if I am alive, not dead." The story ends with these words: Michael lived, thanks to the skill of his doctors, but also because of his amazing attitude. Do you have the disease of discontentment? You do not have to allow circumstances to steal your joy. You see, you have a choice. Because to rejoice is a choice. You can choose to have a good mood or choose to be in a bad mood. And the best way to choose to be in a good mood is to focus on adoring your shepherd by believing that your shepherd will provide your needs and by claiming the full benefits of the shepherd's provisions. You know, if you are not a believer here today, you are not in the flock of the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd still loves you, and he would love for you to join his flock. And the way for you to do that is by putting your faith in Jesus, that he is the Good Shepherd, that he laid down his life by dying on the cross for your sin. And by believing that the Good Shepherd rose from the dead so that he could give you eternal life, so you could dwell in his house forever. If you want to become part of the flock of Jesus, if you want to become a Christian, I encourage you to connect with me, email me. We can set up a time to talk on a Zoom meeting, or we can go on a walk together. But I would be glad to tell you how you can become a Christian. And if you prefer to talk to one of your Christian friends, that's good as well. Let's just close this time with prayer. And then afterwards, Attilus will lead us in a song response. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are our good shepherd. Our eyes are upon you. We adore you. Lord, we believe that you are the shepherd that provides each of our needs. We trust you for that. Yet also, Lord, we want to claim the full benefits. Help us not to be complacent in that area. Help us to be grateful sheep. And we pray this all in Jesus' name.